Now, I'd like to read with you in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, first of all. Exodus, chapter 3. Verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow, shall ask, of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Now over to chapter 12, verse 25. That actually was supposed to be 35. Exodus 12, verse 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed or asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Now over to chapter 25. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering, and this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the lights, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to that, all that I show unto thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And then over to chapter 28. Verse 4. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe. Chapter 28 and verse 4. And a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, and they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. Now, further to chapter 31. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and so on. Now turn over further to chapter 32. Verse 1, And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with the graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Verse 20. Now you know what happened when Moses came down from the mountain. And verse 20 says, And he took the calf which they had made, and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. In verse 31, And Moses returned unto the Lord, and said, Ah, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gold gods of gold. That's chapter 35. Verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold, and silver, and brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and so on, down at verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. There is a wealth that is greater than gold. But we have read of gold that God's people had. And there is at least a very significant lesson that impresses me from all of this, and I do trust that the Lord will write it afresh upon all of our hearts this afternoon. Because I want to think with you, first of all, of wealth and trusted. Here these people were slaves in the land of Egypt. And they had nothing. In fact, they were breaking their bodies to serve Egypt. And the Lord says, I see what they're doing to you. I know that they're not paying you for your labor. And in fact, they have increased the toll upon the nation of Israel. I know what they've done. And I'm going to not only bring you out from Egypt, but you're not coming out of Egypt empty. And it's going to work this way. Now, our authorized leaves us with the wrong impression that they borrowed, meaning we would think that means they said, may I have just temporarily, could I just borrow this from you? No, they asked of them. And they owed them nothing when they left. In fact, Egypt still owed them, no doubt, because God gave them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. And they gave them gold and silver and raiment to put on the wives
and on the children.
It was wealth that was entrusted. God gave it to them. And he gave it to them because of what God had in mind. God, with his mighty power, was able actually to influence the hearts of the Egyptians. The people that were here had to dwell, you know, the Israelites, they had to dwell in a special place because anything that was of value to them was an abomination to the Egyptians. So the Egyptians weren't in love with these people. And in fact, they did everything they could to use them. So how does it happen that when these Israelites are going out of the land of Egypt, the people stand in line and they say, please, could we give you gold? Would you mind if we give you silver? Here's some clothing. Take it with you, please. Now, I didn't read that they stood in line. I mean, I'm just kind of painting the picture for you. They just couldn't resist giving it to them. They asked. But it was actually given to them by God. You understand what I mean by that? They could have asked all week and gotten nothing. If you didn't read that God said, I'll give you favor in their eyes. Whatever they had, they owed to God. It was the hand of God that provided it for them. It was the goodness of God that gave them the means of receiving it. All that they had, their wealth, was entrusted to them by God. But more than that, you just have to read a while. You would think, when you're reading in chapter 3, that God wanted his people wealthy. Right? Did you ever hear anybody say that? I hope you never did. Because I hope you're not listening to the radio with these men that preach this kind of thing. And I hope you're not watching the television where they're preaching this kind of a prosperity gospel. And don't bother subsidizing them by reading their books. God wants you wealthy. You would have thought that in chapter 3, wouldn't you? God gave them wealth for one purpose. And now that wealth is claimed. God says, you didn't know why I gave you all that gold and that silver and that raiment, that material back there. But now I'm going to tell you that I have in mind a singular purpose. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Oh my, this is tremendous. Who ever heard of such a thing? That God is actually going to, I'm quoting Solomon now, will God indeed dwell with men? Yes, not in your day, Solomon, in a big temple. But God is actually going to dwell amidst people that are camping in the wilderness. And God's very presence is going to be in their midst. There will be a tabernacle, a place for God's dwelling. What a tremendous purpose God has in mind. Wouldn't it be great if you could be a pilgrim in this world and actually live with the presence of God among you? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Ah, you're all awake. Most all awake. I can see that you're just exactly with me because you're thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 14, aren't you? Where Paul says, when they're unlearned and unbelieving and they're not those same class of people, one of them has been saved by precious blood, but the other one hasn't. One of them, those saved by precious blood is not in the assembly, and there are those two classes of people, and they watch what's happening in the assembly, and suddenly they come to this conclusion. One of them is made a worshiper. I wouldn't be surprised they get saved actually watching what's happening in the assembly. But they come to this conclusion. God is in you of a truth. Just as God dwelt among his people away in Old Testament days in that tabernacle, now the great truth is being unfolded in 1 Corinthians. God is dwelling among his people. That's what God had given the children of Israel wealth for, because he was going to dwell among them. You know what it says at the beginning of 1 Corinthians about the Corinthians? Ye come behind and no gift. They had plenty of wealth. And all their wealth wasn't gold.
There were some of them, I think, were rich, but not many rich, not many mighty, not many noble were called. But they were wealthy. God had given them capabilities. Some of those boys would have been computer programmers if they had been today. And some of them would have been doctors and lawyers, and I don't know what all they might have been. But they came behind in no capability, and they came behind in no spiritual gift. What was the purpose of what had been entrusted to them? It was claimed by God. Now, if you understood things properly in Old Testament days and you had a little extra gold, no, you had any gold and any silver, would you tell me, just today, now tell me, looking at it from 1999, what would you want to do with your gold? Like if you were a financial advisor back there in the wilderness, I think I'm getting some things mixed up here. Maybe they didn't have financial advisors. But if you were a financial advisor back there in the wilderness, what would you tell the people to do with their gold and their silver? I guess you couldn't tell them to put it in the stock market. That wouldn't work. But what would you tell them to do with it? Tell them to do this. The greatest privilege you have is to put what you've got into the things of God. This is a time when you have a unique opportunity. The people in the generation before you couldn't have done this if they had gold. And the people that will have gold in days yet to come won't have the privilege of doing what you're privileged to do. God is going to dwell in the midst of His people, and you have the opportunity to take your wealth and have your wealth eternally linked with the honor of God in the midst of His people. Something worthwhile to do with your money, your wealth, with what God has entrusted to you. So what did they do with it? Well, where's Moses? We don't know what happened to him. He's been up on the mountain for all these days. My Lord delayeth His coming. Do you expect the Lord Jesus to come in 1999? Now, I'm not asking you whether you set a date. Do you expect the Lord Jesus to come in 1999? Oh, yes, we all believe that. Do you expect the Lord Jesus could come in February? Can't come in January of 1999. Could He come in February of 1999? Now, come on, we're all Orthodox, brother, aren't we? Yes, He could. Could He come this week? Yes. Could He come today? Yes, we all believe that. What are you doing with your wealth? What are you doing with what's entrusted to you? I'm not in a campaign for financial things at the moment. Now, you understand. There's a wealth greater than gold. What are you doing with whatever capabilities God has entrusted to you? You see, it all depends on whether, first of all, you recognize the Lord is soon coming back. And I think we need to keep in our mind, this is not just a something, you know, that's a doctrine that we ought to just say, yes, we believe this. This is something that ought to affect our lives. Because as soon as we begin to think, well, now, you know, what it says there in James, go to now, you that say, today and tomorrow we'll do this and do that and we'll go and we'll get gain. And they get all tied up with here and now. How are we going to live? Yes, we have a responsibility to provide things honest in the sight of all men. But there is something far more important than that about life. They not only lacked an assurance about Moses coming back, but they actually lacked an appreciation of the Lord. Imagine what kind of a people who had seen the mighty hand of God with the Egyptians there at the Red Sea, and they had seen God change the bitter waters to sweet, and they had all those blessings, manna from heaven, a rock opened up and water flowing to them in the wilderness. What kind of people are they that would say,
These golden calves, like they used to worship in Egypt, these are our God. You understand what I'm saying? What a terrible thing. To bring their God down to the level of the Egyptians' idolaters. But they did. There is nothing to substitute for our having a wholehearted appreciation of the Lord.
Sanctifying the Lord in our hearts, if I can just use that expression on the subject, and recognizing this, that your Savior and mine deserve the highest place, a place to be compromised with no one else. There is to be no rival, self or others, for the place of exaltation that belongs to our Lord. But you see, these people with their lack, they begin now to think, it would be better to be back in Egypt. This business of being out with the Lord, separated from Egypt and all the world that's around us, this business of being out with the Lord, it's a bit bothersome. This is a hard way of life. It'd sure be a lot better to be back in Egypt. Can you believe anybody would ever say that? Who was a slave once in Egypt Do you think a Christian could ever think that kind of a thing? Well, they weren't going back to Egypt, but what they did was they brought Egypt out with them. And they start to lower the things of God to the level of Egypt. But we're not done yet. It's getting worse. And they take what belongs to God. They take what God entrusted to them to be built into a tabernacle, a sanctuary where God would dwell. They take what belongs to God that has such tremendous potential, and they put it into the fire, and it comes out a molten calf, and they bow down to worship it.
Oh, you say, David, you're getting all excited about those Israelites out there in the wilderness, so let me come closer to home. Young man, you've got something entrusted to you that's worth more than gold. You have a life that can be lived for the glory of God. Remember, first series of gospel meetings I had with Mr. McBain, and that is one of the great privileges of my life, to have had some time with that beloved servant of Christ. And the first soul that we knew we had seen saved, actually there was a young man saved earlier in the week, but we didn't know about it. So we sat in this young lady's home rejoicing together. You just have to remember Mr. McBain. He loved to see people saved. But anyway, I could get off on a big story here. So the hours passed after she had been saved, and it was past midnight. Couldn't bother him. He sat at the piano and played, and then went over different things. And they get up from the piano, and he's got his big Bible bag is big enough to carry hymn books in. Hymn books, not the hymn, but hymn books. So he could sit down at the piano and play. And he was tucking all his hymn books into the bag. And he said, you know, I'd love to be the age of this young fella, pointing at me. And if I could be the age of that young fellow again, I would give my life to the Lord Jesus all over again. Great thing to have a life. Tremendous wealth to have a life to give to the Lord Jesus. It's a tremendous wealth to have some little capabilities that might be useful in the kingdom of God. Now listen, sorry, I don't want anybody to get upset by what I'm telling you. But listen, I want you to know, God can do without your talents. Neither you nor I are indispensable to God. But it would be wonderful if He could use something about us. And He can. Now here's the tragedy. That a people that forget the Lord is coming, and a people that forget the honor that belongs to the Lord, decide they can use what is entrusted to them for themselves. fact, I think, I'm still convinced that what they did was not only idolatry, but immorality was involved with it. They took what was sacred and cast it into the dust of the desert. Now let me ask you today, what are you doing with the capabilities that God has given you? I'm not forgetting those of us that are growing silver threads among the gold. I'm just particularly thinking of young believers today. But it's true for all of us. What are you and I doing with the treasure that God has entrusted to us? Is it being invested for this world, or is it being invested for the world to come? Will we just squander it? Live for ourselves. There are young men with a good mind. And what are they doing with a good mind? Why, they're climbing up the corporate ladder. And they're getting this promotion. And securing this pay raise. And doing more and more. Now listen, after it's all said and done, I know you need money to live. I know the cost of living is high in Vancouver and the environment. But there is an eternal world for which to live. And there is only one way that's worthy of what God has entrusted to you. Only one way to spend what God has given you. And it's not to be spent for self. It's not to be spent for what gratifies and satisfies me. But rather, that wealth has a higher purpose. So let me just move along on this. Not only was wealth entrusted to them, wealth claimed by God, but it was wealth that was squandered. Imagine this. They ended up eating their money. And it neither tasted good, nor did they ever have it again. You either use what God has given you for His purpose, or you lose for life and forever. I might not have said that in a weighty enough way, so let me just try again and say the same thing. You either use what God has given you for the glory of God, or you lose it for life and forever. They ate the gold. Some diet that was. Remember, Moses burned it, ground it up, and gave it to them to eat. Drink of the water. They ate it and lost it. Neither enjoyed it, nor had it to hold for the days that were ahead. Ah, thank God there were some people that didn't give to the calf movement. Because what we read over in chapter 35, is that what we read? What we read there was that wealth offered. The highest use of what God entrusted to them was to give what they had to be used for the dwelling place of God. Is that right? There were many. And when their little assessment of life was all finished, their balance sheet showed a tremendous deficit. And instead of gold, silver, and precious stones, all they had left was wood, hay, and stubble. And when the fire came, it was all lost. Couldn't help but think of this today. It was a bit of a, to me, a parable in this. A man I knew was very wealthy. There were two halves to his life. He lived the first half of his life for business. And he lived the second half of his life for the assembly. Now, while he was living the first half of his life, the assembly was really on the decline. But he made money. Why did he make money? And the second half of his life, he lived for the assembly. He lived to be over 100, so he had halves to live. And the second half of his life, retired from business, all the money that he had, gave the boys the business to run. So when he came to be 100 years of age, I want to be kind to him. When he came to be 100 years of age, before he died, the assembly was out of existence. And when he died, I was actually one of the trustees that was named in his will to distribute his mega wealth. The executor was his grandson, also a believer, who came to all of us at the funeral and said, there will be no money to distribute. All the money has been spent on his care. The first half of his life for wealth. All of his life, zero. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about true wealth that God has entrusted to you. Don't spend the first half of your life using your talents for yourself and then give God the leftovers. Whatever you have entrusted to you by God, pour it out for the assembly. Pour it out for the things of God, to build up the place where the Lord dwells, to add the very character of God to the assembly. Marv might walk out on me and protest if I go any further, so I'll just have to leave it there for you. And just remind you of this, that you see what they had, that wealth they had, just take the gold. When that gold was in the tabernacle, it expressed the very character of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to throw your life away, to throw your life away, to display the character of God, so that there would be something of the character of God built into the assembly, and at the judgment seat of Christ, what was so little valued by others will be evaluated by the Lord Jesus. And at the end of life, there will be something for Him.